You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
We are continuing our Set Apart to Serve series. And in this series, for the most part, we've been speaking with church workers about their experience in becoming and serving as a church worker. Today, we get to take a new direction in our Set Apart to Serve conversations. We're going to look at it from another perspective. We'll hear from the people in the pew. That's right. We get to hear from you, laity and lay leaders, on the role of church workers in your lives and why encouraging your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ to consider church work is important to you. Today's episode of The Coffee Hour is underwritten in part by Concordia University, Wisconsin. You can learn more about Concordia University, Wisconsin by visiting cuw.edu.
Live uncommon.
Joining us today, Debbie Larson. She's been a guest here on KFUO and The Coffee Hour before. Debbie, welcome back to The Coffee Hour.
Thank you. Thank you, Sarah and Andy, for having me and Mark.
And Mark Walters also joining us today. Mark, welcome to The Coffee Hour.
It's great to be here.
Now, Mark, I think this is your first time on The Coffee Hour, right?
This is my first time.
Well, welcome to The Coffee Hour. Glad to have a chat with you and learn more about why church work formation and church workers are important to you. Debbie, let's start with you and talk about where you live and your service to the church.
Okay. Well, I live in Colorado now. I was born and raised in North Dakota, and we also spent a lot of time there. We've lived in Texas, and we've lived in Washington State, so we've moved around a bit. I didn't grow up in the LCMS. Once I married Scott, and we began to worship at an LCMS church and get involved in Bible studies and service, I think it kind of opened a world for me. I wanted that for my kids, so I got involved in youth leadership, and I think that we did that for many years until we couldn't keep up with them anymore. And then I got involved with Lutheran Women in Mission. I served on pretty much all levels. Just such a pleasure to serve in the LWML. I served as district president in North Dakota. I was the national public relations director. I was vice president and then president from 2019 for 4 years. Now I am retired and enjoying working in my local congregation.
Mark, tell us about you and where you live and how you serve in your church.
I live in Northwest Kansas, a very rural area. In fact, I was born and raised here. A hospital I was born in, probably less than a mile away from here. and I've been here most of that time. I went away to college and worked away for 1 year, but otherwise I've been here most of my 70 years. Grew up in the Lutheran church. My grandfather was a LCMS pastor, started as a circuit rider in West Texas in the 1920s, and retired in the early 70s. So I've had that. My mom was a PK, and just been actively involved in the church all my life. Our family was growing up, and my wife and I have kept involved with our family as our kids were growing up. We've served in a lot of capacities in the church, small rural congregation that just have opportunities to serve in a lot of ways, and we've done that and enjoyed that service and still do. Probably have a little more time now. I've been retired for a couple of years. I spent 30 years in K-12 public education as a teacher, coach, and administrator. Retired from that about 14 years ago and went into private business for about 11 or 12 years and been out now for about 2 years. The church, as I said, has been very vital. We've been and continue to be very involved in it. It's just a vital part of our life. And those servants that have served in the church, I've always considered them as gifts from God to us. And that helps maybe smooth over some things. If you don't maybe like what a particular pastor does or how he does it, recognize that he is God's servant who is here. And I guess I'd say my issue would be with God at that point rather than with the pastor. So we've just been involved and still are with it. And I've had the privilege the last 7 years to serve on the Kansas District Board of Directors. So I've gotten wider exposure to a lot of the great people across the state of Kansas and just see their heart and zeal for the Lord. And that's been a real blessing as well. I've been a lay delegate to a couple of synod conventions, and I guess that's a little bit of my background.
And he's very, very good at it. He doesn't miss meetings. He even came to us from a tractor during one of our meetings.
Yeah, one of our Zoom meetings came during corn harvest here in Kansas. I was working for a local farmer driving a tractor and a grain cart. So I just set up my iPad on the front console of the tractor, put on my headset, and joined the meeting as I was driving across a cornfield.
That is dedication. I was actually going to ask you about that. That was in my notes to ask you about being the tractor guy. Apparently, that's your name among the Set Apart to Serve team. And what is there an analogy there that you see between literally being part of the harvest of food and what Set Apart to Serve is trying to do?
Well, it's definitely a connection there that I've seen. I've been privileged. As I said, I grew up here in this area. I grew up on a farm, and everything that goes with that. And harvest is certainly a special season, a special time that it's literally all hands on deck, that a lot of other things just grind to a halt, especially during a Kansas summer wheat harvest, probably more time critical because the wheat is at a vulnerable stage with possibility of hailstorms and nasty thunderstorms that can cause a lot of damage. So yes, harvest is a special time, and recruiting workers to the harvest is a big concern and big part of the job of those that operate those farms.
Now, Debbie, your congregation, I understand, had a long vacancy. Talk to us about that vacancy and how you saw the need for a lay leadership.
Certainly, we did. We, after our last pastor retired, we were vacant for about 3 years, and we did survive. We survived by the grace of God, and we had an incredible retired pastor and in the congregation and a retired military chaplain. We also many times sought the counsel of our circuit counselor. We did not, I don't think you can say we thrived. And I think that our lay leadership really stepped up. We spent much time in prayer, much time in meetings planning for the next month or the next 2 months as we went through the call process. But I believe a flock needs a shepherd. I don't think any other church body, though, prepares its members like the LCMS does. We are taught solid doctrine based on scripture, taken in context. And I think that that lays a really firm foundation for all vocations, especially for lay leadership as they go through things like a vacancy.
Certainly a vacancy can be challenging. How did that time make you, or did that time of vacancy help you think more about the need for church workers and how church workers are raised up and how church workers are formed? Did it lead you to think more about that during that time?
Very much. Very much all of us, as we continually prayed for that church worker to come our way, that shepherd to come our way. I think, as you know, truths in this world get blurred. They're just to pacify the masses. And I think that if we want to continue to know the truth, to teach our children the truth, then we must teach it and preach it. And we must do that by full-time church workers.
And having well-formed church workers, church
absolutely
workers that have been formed in the word, that have had that time for formation and also that time for experience in a congregation as well, to, you know, that we can go to school, we could go to seminary and have all the classes. There's so much about that experience in the parish too that mm-hmm. makes that church worker, that formation of a church worker as well.
Our Bible study last night was in 2 Thessalonians, and wow, it just blows my mind. I thought I knew that really well, and I learned many new things. And I think that comes from having a pastor that leads and knows that root language and can explain it in context.
We're going to talk more about church work formation and the role of church workers in our lives as laypersons. We'll continue our conversation with Mark and Debbie in just a moment. You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
At Concordia University, Wisconsin, we believe you were created for a reason, to use your God-given gifts to help others, to live a life of self-sacrifice in a me-first world, to live a life that's uncommon. Whether you're taking one of 50-plus online programs or learning with us in person on the shores of Lake Michigan, you'll be equipped to make an uncommon impact. Learn more at cuw.edu. Concordia University, Wisconsin. Live uncommon. Dum dum dum.
Welcome back to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
We are in our Set Apart to Serve conversation today, taking a new direction, looking at the formation of church workers and the importance of church workers in our own lives, as particularly from the perspective of the people in the pew, the layperson. How do church workers make a difference in our lives? And why is church worker formation important? Debbie gave us a great perspective on their experience as a congregation in a pastoral vacancy and waiting to, you know, calling a pastor, waiting for a pastor, and what that meant for them as a congregation during that time. Mark, I want to go back to some of a conversation I believe you had in your involvement with Set Apart to Serve in a Zoom meeting. I don't know if this was the one on the tractor or another Zoom meeting, but you mentioned that your congregation is starting to think more about church work recruitment and having more conversations about it, meaningful conversations about it. Can you unpack that a little bit more? Tell us a little bit more about what that means for your congregation.
Yes, our congregation too had a vacancy, probably a 9-month vacancy in the last year and a half. And during that time, I led the Sunday morning adult Bible class. And during that time, with the vacancy, with that scenario going on, it gets people's attentions a little bit more, I think, about that. So I did share a few times some of the material from the Set Apart to Serve website, some of the videos, pointed out some of the resources there, and just kind of had a little conversation about that. And I guess my takeaway from that was is very positive vibes back from that. Yeah, that's good. That's great. I mean, we haven't probably followed up much on that. I mention it from time to time if we have a congregational meeting just to keep it in people's minds and kind of keep the website out there. But I can't say it's morphed into anything strictly intentional going forward. But the conversation has been there, and I think some people are probably thinking about it more.
Debbie, tell us how you have seen lay people working in local congregations and the families in those congregations to form and recruit youth and adults to consider full-time church work. What is that role of the layperson in that work?
I guess the first person that comes to mind when you say that is a fellow church member from North Dakota. Her name was Pat Sebastian. You may know her. She's very involved still in youth and forming Bible studies with the youth, not just with our church, but I mean, she met at Starbucks. She said, I will buy you a drink if you want to come and have a Bible study with me. It just got overwhelmingly huge. And she is interested in every single aspect about every single youth. She goes to their games. She knows who their sisters and brothers are. And I think that that kind of layperson, just laying it all and giving it all, has spurred, I know, several pastors now who are out in ministry became pastors because of her encouragement. So that's just one really great example.
That's encouraging to hear. And that's so consistent with what we hear from our friends in youth ministry as well. And the 7 practices that they've been sharing with us, especially End Goals Youth Ministry podcast and what they've been sharing with us for a couple of years now, the importance of particularly adults who care about youth in the congregation.
Genuinely.
Yes. Who genuinely care about youth and are interested in spending that time with them to hear what questions they have and also to pray with them, to pray for them, spend time in the Word with them, who genuinely care about young people in the congregation and how that makes a difference in young people staying involved in their congregations, staying engaged in their congregations, and then also finding opportunities to serve in their congregation, which often can then lead to them considering full-time church work as well.
That's
so encouraging. How have you witnessed and had conversations with a young person in your own experience? Have you had conversations with young persons thinking about their futures and maybe if that will include church work?
Yeah, I certainly have. I did teach high school Bible study and junior youth Bible study. I'm not doing that at this very moment, but I had and even as something as easy as prayer, circle prayers, how I remember when they first started, they were given permission to just share or not share. But as the year progressed, how much easier it was for them to speak to God out loud in front of everybody and not feel embarrassed about it. And it just their feelings would come out. And I think that prayer, that's the place I always start. So in doing that and in working with the youth, I think you constantly encourage, especially when you go to district and national events.
Now, Mark, I know you have been involved with Set Apart to Serve and bringing those questions to your congregation, encouraging more conversations about encouraging church work in the future. What about one-on-one? Kind of like Debbie, have you had opportunities to speak with young people or even other adults to think about church work in the future?
Yes, I have a little bit. I've been teaching a sixth grade midweek class at our church for several years. I make it a point to bring that up with my students as we go through the year. That's something to definitely consider and keep in mind. As I was thinking about this, I just jotted down a few things, some lay responsibilities, and this is probably just even aside from anything intentionally set apart to serve, is how do you, well, first of all, just think about recruitment of church workers, think about formation of church workers, put that in your thinking. I'm thinking for a long time in our congregation, I don't know that was on too many people's minds, really. So just think about it, consider it. Then another big part of recruiting for any field is how you treat the people in that field now, how the congregation treats the pastor, how they pay him, how they support him. Do they speak well of the pastor? Those are huge things that can certainly help, but can certainly deter someone from wanting to go into something if their major impression is that you don't get treated too well in that. So that's a huge lay responsibility right there.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that has come up before in several Set Apart to Serve. I think it was early in some of our conversations talking about culture and how a congregational culture really plays a significant role in raising up church leaders out of that congregation. Those are wise words. Debbie, let's talk a little bit about the LWML women and the women in congregations. How do you see women, LWML women in the congregation playing a role in forming and recruiting youth and adults?
Well, I love to talk about LWML. You know that. I guess I believe, first of all, that all women in the church are Lutheran women in mission.
Yes.
And that at each stage in our lives, as young women with young children, or even before that, your very demanding job, or when they're grown and gone, I believe the LWML does a very good job of integrating service to God through your church and your community and your family with whatever is going on in your life at that very moment. And I think at every stage, in every vocation, our point is Jesus. And I think that the LWML really does do just a wonderful job at that, not just individually, but in the grants that we support, in the local and district and national grants, as we continue support ministries that will bring all of those young people into relationship with Jesus.
Why, Debbie, why do you have such a passion for the church to be forming and recruiting church workers for generations to come?
I think a part of it is that I didn't grow up in the LCMS. We did go to church on a regular basis, but I never was in Bible study. I never got into scripture, the study of the scripture. And I think the fact that I felt I missed out, and I don't want any other youth to have to miss out. I want them to have that opportunity to know the exact unadulterated truth and then use God's power, God's strength to live that in their lives.
Mark, how about for you? Why do you have such a passion for the church to be forming and recruiting church workers for generations to come?
Well, I mean, it's just fundamental importance to the church to have the workers, whether it's pastors or teachers or DCEs or organists. I mean, that's a big thing there. I play our organ some, and kids don't take piano lessons much anymore. That's a huge thing, a way that a lot of people have served through the years. So it's just absolute importance. One other thought I had is that, because I mentioned the harvest, but as I'm thinking in terms of the agriculture, it's not all about the harvest. There's a lot of work that leads up to harvest. And if we're just thinking that, well, we need pastors or teachers to do this. I think we're missing out probably on what should we as lay people be doing to prepare for that harvest, because there's a lot of work to do there, and just a lot of lessons to learn from agriculture that certainly apply in the life of the church.
And I think, Mark, what is really wonderful about that is we never have to do it alone.
Yeah, that's huge. That's huge.
Mark, any final thoughts as we wrap up our time today?
Probably nothing new, but just maybe a plug for the resources that are out there in the SAS plan. There's just a lot of things there. If somebody's interested in it, and well, what can I do? I'd say just point them to that website and say, find something, find one thing here. Read this, watch this video, just get an idea, get started. There's so many ways, there's so many different levels of doing it. It's not just you have to do this and this and this. There's some way that you can make your own to be a part of this.
Hey, Sarah, what he said, that was my thought.
Certainly, there are a lot of practical resources available for Set Apart to Serve. You can find those at lcms.org/SAS. Our guest today, Debbie Larson. Debbie, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
And Mark Walters. Mark, thanks so much for being our guest today.
My pleasure.
Again, you can find more at lcms.org/SAS. You can learn about Set Apart to Serve there. You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support The Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.